Happy Tuesday. You are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacy live on MiamiMicRadio.com. So today I don't know if you realize I have a different background. My she shed, my studio has no air conditioning. So I am, what was that ding? Well, so I am in a different location so that I can have AC. So I do apologize if you hear my dog bark or anything happen because, you know, this is part of life here. And being a single mama, it's not so easy to, you know, make everything happen. So my kid is coming home at some point also. So you may hear the dog bark. You may hear my kid talk. So, you know, this is life, right? The show must go on. But I just want to give a shout out actually to my summer family sister who is taking my son home for me today because, you know, it kind of stinks when mommy says you got to go and you don't want to leave. So big shout out to Karen and her crew for taking care of my little man tonight for me. You know, they say it takes a village, right? So here we are. But I need you guys to do me a favor. For everybody that's tuned in, especially on Facebook Live, if you can share this feed, it would be awesome. Because tonight I'm doing an interactive with you guys and I need as much feedback as possible. And, you know, a lot of my shows when I have guests, I'm not able to chime in on the feed. I'm not able to always see messages and stuff. I do try to look at them afterwards, but to be honest with you, after I've been talking for 2 hours, I can't see straight and it doesn't always end well. So I apologize if I don't always respond, but just know that I am here. I do see it. I appreciate every single one of you for watching, for sharing, for supporting, and all that good stuff. So I thank you very, very much. It's quite humbling when I get, you know, kind words said to me. I greatly appreciate it, and I appreciate the support. So last week we had fun, right? We had Anthony Mangini, and then I had a couple of the ladies from MMR, and they came down. We were at Noma Social, and it was really cool because he, the guy Mike Falco was on, or DeFalco, I believe it is. He came on the show last week as well, and we talked a little bit about Noma. And after the show, he was so kind, and he said to me, "If you ever need to, you know, a place for the show, feel free to come here." So I'd like us all to think about this. For any of you guys that are in the Westchester area, you know, I wanted to do something there. And he even said that we could maybe do something with the pool, you know. So how cool would it be to do like the live talk show from there and let you guys participate as well, you know, by physically being there? So I don't know. It's just a thought. So if that comes to you and, you know, you think about it, I think it would be pretty cool to do that. Let's see. What else do we got going on? I just got a text. All right, John. JT, what am I shouting you out for? He wants somebody. He wants a shout out. John Taglia from Who's Your Daddy? I love you. And I'm sorry I didn't get to you. I know you guys were on the rooftop on the, I think it's July 3rd. I didn't get to see you because you were supposed to be in my backyard on Saturday and Mother Nature had other plans. So I missed you guys and I hope that it gets rescheduled. But I've been laying low. You know, I've been really, once my son is out of school, it's 100% mommy. It's camp mommy. And to be honest with you, I'm just trying to regroup and, you know, spend time with him, which totally grounds me and, reminds me why I fight every day. So, for any of you that are blessed to have children, big shout out to our kids that keep us going, right? So I miss everybody, but I'm here now and you see me. And as usual, I'm going to start talking about stuff that I'm not supposed to be talking about, like people shouldn't talk about, right? So my subject today is money. Money, 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 money. Money. Yeah, I won't quit my day job. But that's what I want to talk about today. And we're going to talk about money because it's always a touchy subject, right? There is nobody that I know that can have a conversation about money and not there won't be an issue. I'm almost 110% sure that nobody could talk about money and not have an issue. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's see. April, thank you so much for bringing everybody in. We definitely need participation because and Gina, my love, always thank you so much. Let's try, nice venue. Yes, it is. It's a great venue. Let's try and get this because I got questions for you guys. So I need you, you know, here with me so that you can respond. So again, money, always a touchy subject, right? Why do they say money is the root of all evil? Because, I mean, we all know that, right? Money is the root to all evil. So where do we go with that? And I'm going to go into my feed here because, of course, Karen can't see that far because I got my glasses on, I got my glasses off. I'm screwed either way. So, let's see. Yes, single mom. Shout out to all the single moms out there. I just saw the response. Now, okay, we're still tagging. All right, so I put the question out there. Why do people say the root of all evil is money? So I almost hate money. And I say that very loosely when I say, obviously, we all love money, right? Because you can't do nothing without it. But that's almost why I hate it, right? Because it really is the root of all evil. Because the truth of the matter is that we need money. And money makes you do some crazy things, right? I mean, look at people that, I mean, they sell their ass. I mean, can't possibly do that because you like it. You probably do it because you need money, right? So there's a lot of evil that goes on. Think about the conniving that takes place. Think about the way people screw one another over when it comes to money, right? It's never a good thing. When money matters, everything else falls to the wayside. It leads to greed, which leads to evil. Yeah, I guess that's probably the point, right? Like, you can never have enough money, right? I guess. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, so greed becomes self-narcissism. People can't live without it, sadly. And again, I said that's why I just started this by saying that I hate money because nothing pisses me off more than when there's an issue like that. Like, I don't like money to ever be an issue. I would rather, even if I don't have it, I would rather pay for people than to have there be an issue. Like, it makes my skin crawl. I hate when there's a money issue. It just drives me crazy. Because life is survival of the fittest and people willing to do that, do what it takes to make money without morals. More money, more problems. So that is also very interesting. And so that is the caveat to that, right? So I'm eating my hair. So what does one do for money, right? Like I just said, some people, you know, they sell their souls to the devil for it, right? So what does money do? Like, in other words, you have to make money, right? So many people that do make money, like good money, hate their jobs. So my cousins were all in the stock market at one point. And they all had these gorgeous houses and everything else. And they were on more anxiety medication than, I mean, it was terrible. And I would say to myself, like, is it worth it? I mean, yeah, they drove beautiful cars. They lived in, you know, million-dollar homes. You know, the kids went to the best schools. But at what cost do we do that, right? So now you have these people that sold their souls to the devil because, you know, now you get accustomed to a certain lifestyle, right? So now you can't go backwards. You know, you can't go from a $1 million home to a two-bedroom apartment, right? You got to keep it going. So, you know, you develop a lifestyle that you have, that you become accustomed to, that you have to keep up. And at what point do you actually enjoy your life, right? So that's why I say money really is the root of all evil, because you need it to survive and you need it to have better things, right? But then at what cost are those things? Because to me, nothing is worth your health. And I will be honest with you and I will look at your comments in a minute. But I will tell you this. I'm crooked here and I'm trying to fix it. It's so funny when you look on the thing, you're flipped over. So I'm trying to adjust my shirt and I'm all crooked. Anyway, many years ago, when my son was, 3 or 4 years old, I've talked about this on the show before. You know, he had a lot of health issues. They thought that he was on the spectrum, yada, yada. So we had to get him services. Now, he had gotten the services through early intervention. And then when he aged out of early intervention, he went into the regular school system. So they told me that where we lived was the hardest school system to get help from. So they said, well, if you lived over here, they would give you everything that your son needed. So I basically told my husband that if they didn't grant us what we needed for him, that we would, rent out our house or whatever, and we would go live in a studio apartment in whatever that area was. And I'm not mentioning names only because I don't want anybody to try to chop me up and kill me. No, I'm only kidding. But I was willing to give up my house and all of that because my son's education and help was more important to me than where I lived and what I had. Because if I don't have a healthy child, then really nothing else matters, right? So you can go live anywhere and you won't have, you know, I don't care about that. So it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would, you know, look, I'm waiting. I told everybody I am meeting Elmer J. Fudd and I will be living on a mansion and a yacht. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, you have to know what's important. And to me, the only reason why that money would have been important would have been if he wasn't going to be able to get the services he needed, then we had to figure out how we were going to pay for those services that he needed. But, you know, I was ready to pick up and go and say, and I told my husband, we'll go live, like I said, in a studio apartment so that he can be in the district that he needs, so he can get the help that he needs. And then once he's okay, then we figure out what we're going to do from there. So, you know, you can't allow it to take you over. You still have to have some control over it, in my own personal opinion. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to read because I know you guys are writing stuff and I don't want to miss any. Okay, so here we are. It's hard for many people to find a balance. A person needs a strong moral grounding to be able to have money along with compassion for others. Very difficult and very rare. So absolutely. And again, we can like these things, everybody's comments takes my brain to another place, right? So that's a very strong statement, April, that you just made, you know, that you have to have grounding, you know, so you have compassion for others. And there are people in this world that are the most generous if they have money, they are the most generous people in the world. And you know what? There are a lot of people out there that don't really have money and they're still generous. I know a lot of people that pick up a bill for somebody and they probably are just putting it on a credit card that they can't necessarily pay either. So, you know, I think people are very gracious. There are a lot of amazing giving people out there. I also know from, you know, I know people that are on both sides of the spectrum. And, you know, it does take a lot of compassion because you never want to be better than someone else. And I know that's, I could probably use a better word for that, but a better thing for that. But what I mean is, you know, sometimes people are intimidated by people that do well financially. So that's a really tough thing there. Now, I think you should be proud. You should always be proud. I 100% believe that. But I think that, you know, there's a very fine line because sometimes you have people that are just very giving. Then you have people that are just show-offs. You know, so there's a difference. And obviously, you'll learn the difference at some point. But it is very difficult, like you said. You know, you have to have compassion for others. All right, let's see. Constant rat race, so to speak, to maintain current level. Stress will lead you to ailments. Because of this, it's a never-ending mess. Yes, and that's exactly what I was just saying about my cousins and how all of them were on medication. So, okay, as parents, we do what we have to do, and I agree. Money means nothing if I don't have my family's health and priorities. Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody's different. That's just how I feel. Yeah, that's me, money and generous. And you know what? I do believe, you know what? I always talk about the law of attraction, right? What you give out, you get back. And, you know, look, don't get me wrong. I wish that I was in a situation where every time I went out, I could buy everybody drinks or dinner or whatever it is. You know, but, you know, unfortunately, that's not my situation. So I have to be conscious of what I do. But it's not to say, that's why I'm saying it. That's why I hate money. Because I feel like if somebody does something for you, you almost, it depends on the person, right? I mean, let me back up to say, you know, when someone does something for you, you want to reciprocate. And there are different ways to reciprocate. I have a dear friend, and she was very generous. I mean, took me on vacations. You know, she wanted to go out to a nice dinner. I said, I really can't do that this week. She wanted to go on vacation. I said, I really, you know, I'm not able to do that. And very selflessly, we did all these things together. And I, on the other end of things, tried to give back. So I would watch her child for her. I would do her hair for her. You know, what I would cook for her. I would have her over during holidays. And it's just, it's not that I felt like I had to or she was expecting it. It's just reciprocal because I appreciate. Well, we all should appreciate, right? So not just, all of us should appreciate, right? So you can't always give back the same way people give you. So if somebody is in a position where they can take you away on vacation or take you out and you go to an expensive meal, you know, you can reciprocate by doing something nice for them. And all of us have the capacity to do something nice for them because I think everybody in this world just wants to feel appreciated and valued. And I think that money is something that is very, it really devalues. Like it's as crazy as that sounds, right? I think that's how I feel because it all becomes about the money. And then it's there's no give and take. It's all take at that point. And that's not cool either. You guys are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And we are also live in my group on my Facebook feed. And I am encouraging you guys to jump on the feed and interact with me, because it's just me and you today. And which I try to do every so often, because I actually get a lot of people that have told me that they enjoy when it's just you and me. So I try to break it up a little bit and have, you know, interesting guests. And then you have me and, you know, I talk and, you know, I go off on my tangents and stuff. But that's what we're here for. We'll do it together, right? So we are talking tonight about, excuse me, a touchy subject, money. Money, 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 money. So we're talking about money, why it's the root of all evil. I'm asking you guys, if you can, to share this so that we can bring other people into the conversation, because it's always interesting to hear other people's perspective on things. Okay. Let's see. But you have to look at reciprocation, not just on a monetary level. I'd rather have someone make me something than buy me something sometimes means more. Absolutely. And I love making stuff. You know, so I did that as well. Like, you know, I would make like a tooth whitening toothpaste. You know, I like to do stuff like that. And like I said, I enjoy, you know, the holidays, the more people, the better. I've always said my door is always open. So, you know, that's why I do, you know, if you're going to have a relationship like that with someone, you really have to be on the same page, because it's just not cool when, you know, money becomes an issue. And that would be the next thing that I was going to talk about is, you know, why does money mean more to certain people than others? So, you know, is it because they have it or is it because they don't? Because most people that don't have money are concerned about it, right? Because they don't have money. But as I said just moments ago, and I went a little off, you know, I think it's law of attraction. And if you are a generous person and you give, I think you get back. That's my personal opinion. The universe is going to give it back to you. So if you help somebody that doesn't have it that day or whatever the case may be, you know, I believe that it does come back to you, because when you worry about it, again, law of attraction. If you wake up every day and you worry about how much money you have, you're never going to have enough money. If you wake up every day and you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. That's how I live my life. I'll figure it out. And you can't obsess, because if you obsess, then that's what you're putting out into the universe, right? So you're putting out into the universe, I don't have money, I'm afraid nothing good is going to happen, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. And that's what the universe hears. The universe does not hear, like, I'm good, you know, it'll come. So you know how some people, I don't know, you know, I know some people, you know, they go like to the casino and it's like they have a horseshoe stuck up their ass, you know, all of a sudden, poof, they have like 20 grand. I had a girlfriend of mine, every time she went to the casino, she freaking hit. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Some people are just like that. Me, I could get those scratch-offs. I've never won a scratch-off ever, ever, ever in my life, I have to say. My husband used to win all the time. God bless that he had that kind of luck. And he used to tell me, do me a favor, don't touch him anymore. Because he used to give me the coin and say, rub it off. And every time I rubbed it off, of course, we never won. So he would tell me, go, don't touch nothing and go away and don't give me bad luck. I'm like, okay, great. And then he liked to gamble. So if we went to Atlantic City, I wasn't a gambler, obviously, because I, as I just told you, I don't win. So he was like, and I figured to myself, why do I want to gamble? If I have $200, I want to buy a pair of shoes with it. I don't want to gamble. But, you know, some people enjoy it. But yeah, so he would wait for me to, he was like, all right, go upstairs. Cause I would be done. How long can you hang around and watch somebody play, you know, a game? So he would wait and take me upstairs and go back downstairs and go in full fledged. And the minute I went upstairs and he went back downstairs, he would hit. So it was hysterical. again, you know, you would think I was the good luck charm. I think I am certain people's good luck charm, but, you know, I guess it depends. You got to rub it the right way to make sure the genie comes out. All right, let's see. You guys are, certain people lack compassion and empathy. Yeah, hello. Leslie, you don't worry about money anymore. There you go. Yeah, you can't live like that. Obsessing over shit no matter what the subject is never leads to anything good or productive. 100%. Law of attraction. It's definitely, you know, once you obsess over it, you give it power, you're done. Because it will take you over. So very important in my opinion. You know, I mean, look, we can all make money, right? So do something. You know, if you're not happy in the situation you're in, then do something about it. Or you have to make a sacrifice. I made a sacrifice when me and you know, when I had my son, we decided that, like I said, he had some health issues and I felt that I needed to be with him. And he was getting these services, and which thankfully I ended up getting, by the way. I didn't tell you the whole end of the story. But, you know, I decided to stay home with him because it was more important to me that I was with him than, you know, the financial aspect of it. And to be honest with you, you know, once you have a child and you have two people working, you know, sometimes the amount of money you end up making, you're giving to childcare. And then beyond that, the worser, and people said that's not a word, but I'm going with it. The worst part about that is that now someone else is raising your child. Now, don't get me wrong. People that have careers and everything that need to work or that want to work or whatever, I mean, my hat is off to you. Don't get me wrong. I personally just felt that I wanted to have a bigger impact on my child's life so that if, and this may sound really messed up to say, but I figured if he turns out to be a jerk, then it was my fault. But if I sent him to daycare or he was in, you know, programs or whatever, you know, someone else is raising your child at that point. Because let's face it, by the time you see your child, usually, depending on what kind of job you work, you know, you spend a good 2 hours with your kid in a day. Now, that could be very good quality time. But, you know, I personally didn't want to miss it. And again, I felt he needed me more because he had these issues. And I was able to be there during all of the services. So I learned myself so that I could help him. So, you know, thankfully I learned, I was able to do it and I made the sacrifices. You know, I didn't go out. I didn't do a lot of things. I didn't buy myself designer bags. I didn't do any of that stuff because it was more important to me that, you know, I was home with my child. So, you know, everybody has something different. Listen, when I was single, please, I worked 3 jobs. I didn't want to know nothing. I wasn't home. I was out. I was spending money. I would go to work in the morning and not like what I was wearing. And I would go to the store and buy myself a new outfit just because I wanted to. And I could, you know. And then you become a mom and it's like, you know, you have responsibilities and stuff. And now all of a sudden it's like, you better like your outfit because you're not getting another one for the next 30 years. No, I'm only kidding. But you know, so yeah, it's, you know, and the other thing is that, again, going back to money, I don't necessarily feel that money equates success, right? I'm going to say that again. I don't feel that money equates success. Just because you have money does not mean you're successful. It means that you're able to pay your bills. So there are people in this world that have money because mommy and daddy left it for them. Or maybe they're like my girlfriend who has a horseshoe up her ass and wins when she goes to the casino. But the people that didn't earn it are usually assholes. And those are the people that never share the wealth, that look down upon others. So like, for instance, a girlfriend of mine worked for a very wealthy woman. She was her personal assistant. And she treated her like absolute shit. And everybody in the house, she treated like absolute shit. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you know, I don't know if it was passed down or maybe she was just the C word because she could. I don't really know. But, you know, it also depends on how you got the money, right? So if it's given to you, usually you're not as humble about it. But I think when you earn it, you have a very different way about you. Because you know how hard it was. So if you have somebody that worked and built an empire, right? And hopefully they have children and they're going to leave that to their children. God willing, those children learn the value of a dollar. They learn what it took to do that and they want to move forward and continue the legacy and hopefully give it to their children one day. So I think that how you obtain the money is very different. Again, blood money is never good. So when you have a job that you hate and you go there day in and day out and you end up, you know, with anxiety and depression and you're miserable, that's blood money to me. And to be honest with you, I'd rather, you know, live on Costa Rica and eat coconuts than have to go through that. But that's just, again, my own personal opinion. So let me see. I know you guys have been chiming in. Somebody else, April, you bought your own new outfits too, huh? I agree. Money does not and should not define you. If you have no personality, no warmth about you, to me, you're nobody I want to ever associate with. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point is that, like I said, money does not define you. And money does not constitute success. Because there are a lot of people in this world, in my opinion, that are very successful and they probably don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. I think that everybody that gets up every day that has been through or is going through something and continues to fight, those are people that are successful. The moms out there, those of us, a lot of us that are single parents or maybe your husband or the father of your child is one of those workaholics that is never home and you are basically a single parent. You know, those are success. That's success. When you have, if you're, and you know what I have to say too, my job at this point is raising my son. And that's how I feel. People say to me, what do you do? I say, I'm a mom. And my girlfriend would say to me, but why do you say that? I mean, yeah, you're a mom, but you know, you're a licensed hairdresser. You know, you do hair, you owned a salon. You have a radio show. And I said, because that's all secondary. I'm a mom. So anybody that wants to be with me needs to accept the fact that I am a mom first. So my child and his and our life comes first. So that to me is what defines who you, you know, that's what defines you. And so for me personally, I'm a mom. So you know what the greatest gift and compliment is to me? I'll give you, for instance, yes, 2 days ago, I was walking by, I was at our pool, and a woman said to me, I met your son. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. And I said, oh, okay. And she's like, I just have to tell you what a great kid he is. Knock on wood, you know, nobody should give him a nine hara, no malocchio. And I was, you know, and you know, when somebody says that to you, there's no greater feeling. Any of you parents that are out there right now, what better feeling is there than when someone says, like, compliments your kid and says, like, what a great kid. I mean, show me some love on the screen there. Parents, how many of you? Like, once you hear that, you're done. Like, for me, I'm good. Once that's the case, that means I'm doing my job correctly. So do your job, and whether you get paid for it, I mean, look, being a single mom, being a parent, never even mind being a single or what, being a parent, they say, right? Well, that's the hardest job and the shittiest pay, right? We know you don't get paid for that, but you know what? It is what it is. All right, let me see. What are we saying here? What happened here? Come on, guys, don't let me be the motor mouth audience members. Yes, April, it's all good. I know, I don't know. I guess I scared everybody. They don't want to talk. Damn, I wish there were more women on this planet like Karen Stacy. Watch what you say. I mean, thank you for the compliment, but yeah, I don't know. If there were more of me, the poor pink elephants would be extinct. Receiving a compliment about your child. Yes, you have made my day. You know, and again, what I'm trying to point out. I'm not sitting here trying to pat myself on the back. What I'm trying to point out is that money is the root of all evil. Don't allow it to be. So if there's one thing that you get from this show tonight, maybe you can think about that and say, you know what, it's really not that important. And, you know, being a good human is important. In my opinion. So now the other thing that I'm going to bring up, since we just were talking about like moms and all that, what about women having their own money, being independent? So meaning when I decided to be a stay-at-home mom, I went from having three jobs to having this job that you don't get paid for. So now I had no money. I mean, I wasn't making money. I always did hair, you know, a little bit here and there. So sometimes I would have spending money or whatever, but I never asked a man for money. Me and my husband were together from 21 years old. I would rather starve. And I did that when I was in cosmetology school and I wasn't working. He used to give me, like, you know, money for lunch or whatever. And I remember one day I came home. I was starving. And he's like, what the hell's the matter with you? Why are you so hungry? I said, well, I didn't eat lunch today. He's like, well, why didn't you eat lunch today? I said, because I didn't have any money for lunch. And he's like, why didn't you have money for lunch? I gave you $20 the other day. I go, yeah, hello. That's gone. He's like, so why didn't you tell me you needed money? Have you met me? So it's very difficult for an independent woman to ask for anything. And I certainly will never ask anybody for money. Even people will say, I've dated people, oh, do you need money? I'm like, no. Meanwhile, I have no money in my pocket. I would say no. Because that's just me. I'm independent and I'm proud of whatever it was. And it's not, I'm not a charity case. I hear people say recently, oh, I feel sorry for her. Thank you. Don't feel sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't need anybody feeling sorry for me. And the last thing I ever need from anybody is pity. No one needs anyone's pity. If you do something for somebody, do it out of your heart. Don't do it out of pity, because that's the worst possible thing. That's like patronizing somebody. I don't know. I appreciate anything anybody does for me. Don't get me wrong, but don't do me any favors if you feel sorry for me or you're doing it out of pity, because, you know, independent women will always take care of themselves. And like I said, I always find, thank you, dear God, knock on head, knock on whatever. Thank you to the universe. You always have to find a way, because you know what? Failure is not an option, right? So you always have to find a way. And that is why you are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacy live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And we are talking about money and how it is the root of all evil. And it's definitely a subject that people really don't want to talk about. And going back to what I was saying about being a woman and having your own money. You know, there are a lot of men that like to, well, actually, let me take that back. I'm going to recant my statement. There are a lot of couples where someone may be controlling. And honestly, it could be the man or the woman. I know a lot of men that they have to give their paycheck to their wife. They give the wife the paycheck and they get like an allowance for the week. So I'm like, so they walk around, they made all the money, they give her the money so that she can pay all the bills or whatever, and they get an allowance at that point. So I just think that when one person controls everything, if there is not a mutual respect somewhere, then there's an there's an imbalance, right? And I think that that can cause, that's probably why in a lot of relationships they say that money is the leading problem in relationships, right? I mean, so many people say that. And so they, money and I think sex, I don't know which is, I'm trying to remember exactly because I know money, most couples fight over money. And I think that's why. So I met this woman, I was like 21 years old and she owned a salon. And she appeared to be, you know, pretty well off. Again, how do I know, right? It's just how she presented herself. And she said that, I guess she was getting remarried. And she said that the man that she was with deposited a very large sum of money into her bank account. And he said, here's your money. Now you don't need me because you have the money. So now, if you're with me, you're with me because you want to be with me. So he took away that whole thing. And I guess he felt like, well, screw it. If she's doing it just to get my money, then let me just let her take the money. And at least I won't have a broken heart at the end of, you know, and a broken bank account. And I never forgot that story. And like I said, I was 21 years old. So it was really a long time ago. And I was very taken aback by that story. And I couldn't believe when she said that, and I wish I knew her now to talk to her about it again. But you know, that is huge. I mean, look at what happens. There are prenups. You know, everybody's worried about that, you know, and so as far as a prenup goes, so my feeling would be this: if you're together and you're young and you guys are building a life together, as far as I think, if you're building that life together, then you both are equals in that. So if your husband becomes a doctor or your wife becomes a doctor, and while they were in medical school, you were the one out working and doing everything, and now they become a doctor and they start making more money than you, if anything comes of, you know, if you guys end up getting separated, why would it be fair that they don't get, you know, it's not equal? Because if they were there to support them through all of that, then I think that they are equal. Because as far as I'm concerned, they both work just as hard for that. That being said, you know, if you meet somebody and you're, you know, older, and you walk in and they have money and they want a prenup, well, you know what? Now I think that, you know, that's a fair thing. I mean, I think that eventually if you do remarry, I would think, and I could be wrong because I'm a hopeless romantic, but I would think that once you are with somebody for a certain period of time, even, you know, as a second marriage, that eventually I would probably, you know, I would hope that they would change that. I mean, I don't know if you can negate a prenup or whatever, but I would think that, like, maybe they write a will, and in their will, you know, they leave everything to you and your and their children, or what, however the case may be. Because listen, let's face it, when you meet somebody second time around, you already had a life, you built a life, you have a successful business, maybe you made millions, and you have to protect your assets. So I understand that. But I think that as far as if you're with someone, you know, when you're building a life together, I think that that's not fair. I think that both parties should be equal. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me on that, and maybe you can let me know. Okay, I don't think it's pride either. I don't feel it's anyone's responsibility to care for me or what I need or want. So, you know what? That's a very good point, April. It is no one's responsibility to take care of anybody except a parent to a child. But if you are in a relationship, you know, that's, I have to say that with me and my husband, that was probably one of our biggest obstacles, was I was so independent. I didn't want him to be responsible for me. I didn't need him to be responsible for me. But guess what? If you're with a man and, I mean, he was just old, not old school, but old school in the right way. His job as my husband and as my son's father was to take care of us. And we were his responsibility. And the more I fought him on that, the more problems we had. And I have to say, probably one of the hardest, a really hard thing I've had after losing him is being that independent person again, because I actually had somebody that took care of me and I didn't have to worry about certain things, which was unbelievable. And I fought him tooth and nail on it because I felt like I was losing my independence, but he never made me feel that way. And it was what he needed. He needed to take care of me. He needed to take care of us. And I will forever be grateful for that. I am definitely having a harder time adapting because I had to, you know, relearn these things again. But I think it's very important in a relationship. If you're with someone that is like that, you have to, it's a give and a take in a relationship, you know? I mean, my husband used to say, I'm screw gun guy and you're pots and pans girl. And every time he said it, I would kick him because I hate that stereotype. But what he was saying is, you be the woman and I'll be the man. So, you know, again, I talk about this a lot on my shows, and we're not talking about this now, right? The blurred lines that, you know, women have become the more dominant species at this point. And we're not going to go into that right now. But when it comes to finances, it is, in my opinion, you should always have your own something, because it, for sanity reasons, you need to know that if, God forbid, something happens, that you can walk. If you gotta walk, you can walk. You might be crawling, but it doesn't matter. You can and will make it to the next step. And that is very important. And if I mean, I will teach my son that, but he's gonna be a man. If I had a daughter, I would definitely teach my daughter that. Make sure you can take care of yourself. Never rely on a man. And, you know, that is how I feel about it. You should never rely on anybody else like that. Unless, of course, like I said, if you're in a relationship and this is how it goes, but you should still always have your finger on the pulse. And I didn't want to hear, my husband would tell me certain things and I was like, you know what? I don't want to know about it. Well, if anything happens to me, I don't want to hear about that. What do you mean if anything happens to me? So that's another thing that I'm going to bring up while we're talking about money. Wills. Yeah. My husband died at 43. He didn't have a will. Who thinks they need a will at 43 years old? So anybody out there that's listening, you should have a will. Especially if you have children or any type of assets, you need to protect yourself or you need to protect your loved ones. So, you know, obviously in his situation, you know, whatever was anything, I mean, I was on, my name was on everything, but it's very important to have that stuff. You know, I had to do that after losing him because, you know, now you realize you're not immortal and I have a son. So now I had to make sure that my son was going to be, you know, would be okay. Because when you don't have a will and somebody dies, it's like, I mean, if I tell you my kitchen table looked like a Wall Street office. There were papers from one end of it to the other end of it. And one of my dear friends, she somehow or another got to the bottom of those papers. And it was a mess, an absolute mess. So I will say that if anybody out there, I understand that it's an awful thing to do. And no one wants to think that they're going to die. But the truth of the matter is we're all going to die. So if you don't have those things in order, I strongly suggest that you do. The same way that a lot of my clients went out and got life insurance. Everybody accused me of killing my husband because he had $1 million life insurance policy. So that's so wrong on so many different levels. Because first of all, you could keep the $1 million because I just wanted my husband. That's number one. Number two, there was no $1 million policy. And I had no idea how I was paying my mortgage. So he did not look into life insurance to that degree. And maybe he was going to. But maybe at 43 years old, he just didn't explore that at that point. So that's another thing I encourage you to do. If you have children, you should have life insurance. And if you are married, you need to make sure that your spouse is on that paperwork or have it in the will. You know, these are things, it's planning, right? And I can get a financial planner on here one day too. I had one on last year. You know, these are things that are really, really important. So while we're talking about money, you know, and we don't want to talk about this shit, it's true. You need to make sure that you are protected. So get a will, get life insurance. You know, all right. Now I got to take a breath, right? Because it's just a lot. It's a lot. Where am I here? Women are better to date when they are independent. They have more character than women who are not independent. Yes, I agree with that. But I think independence looks different on everybody because, you know, as I said earlier, I don't need somebody to do something for me. But do I enjoy it? When I go out, if I go out, I can buy myself a drink. I mean, obviously, I know that I can't blow X amount of dollars on drinking when I got to feed my kid. But I'm not sitting there like I need this person to buy me a drink. But I'm not going to lie. It feels good when someone buys you a drink. It's a compliment. And it's not about the money. It's the gesture. And I appreciate that. So if I don't need somebody to buy me a drink, I mean, probably there are some nights that I did, but I'm just saying, I don't need that. If anything, I could drink freaking water. I don't give a shit. But it's nice when someone does that. It's a gesture. You didn't need that drink to be bought for you, but guess what? It made you feel good when they did it. So that's the difference in that. So I can be, a lot of women can be independent, but I will tell you this, a independent woman will realize whether you bought her a drink or not. And you know what an independent woman will do? She'll buy you a drink. And there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, I've seen, listen, when I was younger, I used to do that when I was single and when I was broken up with my husband, you know, when he was my boyfriend. You know, I thought that was so cool. I would like sit there, saw a hot guy, I'd send a drink over to him. I mean, it's cool. It's still a nice gesture. And it's just a thank you, and either you talk to the person or you don't talk to the person. But you can be independent and still allow someone to do something nice for you. And I think sometimes there's a blurred line on that too. You know, I mean, just because a guy buys you a drink doesn't mean you have to sleep with him. Just because a woman buys you a drink doesn't mean that she's going to, you know, blow you in the car. So, you know, it all has its relevance, right? So I'm just saying, I know we talk about independent and I am all for independence. But at the same token, I do also think that you have to have a softness about you that we've lost somewhere along the way because everybody has become almost too independent by default because there aren't people, you know, on the back end. So I think that that's also why. April, you're a hopeless romantic with me, huh? Prenups that's a very touchy subject for me. I worked long and hard for everything I have. than to have her take it all and share it with the next man as if she's the one that built that all. Nah. Well, yes, and I think I touched upon that, right? And I don't agree with that. As I said, if you built something together, then that is a different story. But if you did everything on your own and they have nothing to do with it, then no, you don't. I don't believe that. Okay, that's why I'm iffy with the whole prenup thing. But at the same time, I love to share everything I have. So what's mine is yours. I mean, it's a complex issue, really. Yes, I agree. It absolutely is. And that's exactly why I worded it that way. Because no one should. And here's the thing, right? When people get divorced, they're never, very rarely do you hear it's amicable, right? I mean, sometimes you do. But a lot of times it's like, and you hear, like, you know, and look, women, a scorned woman is a scary, you know, so when she's pissed off, she wants it all and she's going for it. She's like, you know, I'll take it all. He can go, you know, sleep in an apartment someplace. And I've heard that too. My husband always said, cheaper to keep her. Because it's true. The guy is living in like a studio apartment while the woman is living with the kids, you know, in the life of Riley. I don't necessarily think that's fair either. I don't think that the person that's supporting everybody should be on the balls of his ass. I disagree with that. Or whether it's either or, whether the wife is the one that made all the money and he's living the life of Riley, whatever it is. I don't think any of that is right. I appreciate generosity. I just don't ever want it to become habitual. I'm not a taker, nor would I ever take advantage of that or want to be accused of that. Hard to describe. April, I understand that. And you know what? That what you just said, that's when someone throws something in your face. And I think that's what you mean by that. Very few times in life do you find people that actually do things out of the kindness of their heart and it makes them feel good to do them and they want nothing in return other than your smile and to know that they, you know, they brightened your day or whatever you want to call it. So when you say hard to describe, I understand, and you don't want to be accused of that. And yes, because if you take something from somebody and they end up talking about it afterwards, then you look like you're wrong. You know, when I heard some things about, you know, and it wasn't from reliable sources, you know, that my, you know, that, oh, I took her here and I took her there and, you know, she didn't appreciate it. And when you hear stuff like that, that's when you feel the way that you just described, right? Because anybody that knows me knows I appreciate things. So for someone to, you know, say that, it's just, and yeah, they have the leg to stand on, right? Because you physically took something from them. So therefore, now someone can accuse you of that. So I understand. So it is hard to describe. And I think hopefully I just described it, April, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, you need to know for yourself. Oh, Leslie, you love this? Really? Thank you, Leslie. I feel like I'm talking to myself. I don't see hearts going on. I don't see a lot going on there. So I don't know if you guys are with me or not, or if I'm just yapping away again. April, yes, you need to know for yourself you can survive regardless. Oh, thank you, April. Let's see. Yes, the gesture and the social enjoyment of it. Oh, so I must be talking about the drinks. Yes. So Savian says, I was at Noma 2 Saturdays ago for the freestyle event. I forgot the name of the chick. Perhaps if I see her name, I'll remember. But she's from this group. Always comes on. Anyway, she steps to me. Savian, right? I was like, yeah, nice to meet you. I bought her a few drinks and it was my absolute pleasure. And my love, Savian, you know what that's called? A gentleman. So thank you so much for representing. That's it. And I guess that after you bought her the drinks, you didn't expect her to go upstairs to the room with you, right? So I never once saw her as a loser or anything. anyways, I am the one that offered. She was really cool. So, you know, and that's as it should be, in my opinion. You know, a lot of us are really cool. And you won't know till you know, right? I always say that. So I definitely feel that way and love that look. Oh, you, thank you. Leanna, you always like when I look like a wreck. So thank you. I love you, mommy. And thank you for coming last week for our live show. That was fun. So you guys are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMicRadio.com. And we are live in the Real Talk with Karen Stacey group on Facebook. And those are the comments that I am actually reading because I am here. You guys are my guests today. And I am just, you know, doing my yippy-yappy. And you have all of my attention, so I am getting to read the comments, and I appreciate the people that are commenting and are participating in the show. So I ask you again, if you have just tuned in, if you can please share this video on Facebook so that we can get more people in on the conversation. I like to hear other people's opinions as well. So now, where am I? So we're talking about money. We're talking about the root of all evil, money. So the question is as well now, people with money that can't afford a certain lifestyle, are other people that don't live that way resentful? That to me, like, I always wonder about that because, you know, like they always talk about haters, right? So a lot of times, and again, I'm making a blanket statement, so please nobody kill me right now. You know, if, you know, how do I word this? I'm going to word it. Somebody's going to get pissed off at me. But, you know, money is an obtainable thing, right? You have to work for it. Most of the times, unless, of course, like I said, your family is, you know, well-to-do or you win the lotto or whatever the case. Money is obtainable. If you don't like your lifestyle, then you need to work harder to make more money so that you can like your lifestyle. So I think that a lot of people, especially lower income households where, you know, the government is supposed to take care of them while they have 17 kids, and I'm standing next to them and their nails are done and they jump into a Mercedes and I have no nail polish on and I'm in a Kia. You know, those people are resentful. I'm resentful of those people. You know, I mean, we pay taxes, we contribute. And as far as I'm concerned, if you don't contribute, then you shouldn't have. And I know that that's probably borderline politics right now, so I'm not going there. But my point is that people that are entitled and people that are resentful because other people have money that they worked hard for, that's not okay. So, you know, again, I know, you know, there's, I don't know if anybody's going to be like hating on me for what I just said. And if you are, I'm sorry, but I don't think I said anything wrong. I said it like it is. And there are a lot of people that don't see a lot of money from their paycheck because it goes to take care of other people. I'm a single parent. I'm a widow. I need help and I'm grateful for help. But the help I get is because my husband paid for it and worked. So for people to just live off of the system and then complain about it and work the system, that makes me insane. Because when you're in a situation like myself, where your whole life went upside down and you're the breadwinner in the family is no longer here and you have to still continue and you paid money into Social Security and all these places so that you can, you know, you worked for that money. And they're talking about losing Social Security at some point. What kind of shit is that? Everybody that I know that retires lives off of Social Security. You can't cut Social Security. And again, I'm not going political, but I'm just saying that I don't think that people that have nine kids because you get like $250 a kid or whatever the hell it is the right way to go. And if you're resentful that other people out there have money and you don't, you got issues. So I'm going to just stop there because I'll end up saying more stuff that will really get me into trouble. So my other thing was, are people entitled? Should people with money pay more? Should people that have money treat other people? So I think that if someone is generous, then I think that that's great. But I don't think it's somebody's responsibility just because they have money to take care of somebody else. That's just my opinion. But again, I was saying our lower income, you know, houses, you know, more angry. And so, you know, that's always a question. You know, you see a lot of angry people out there and they're angry for God knows why and what. But there are a lot of angry people out there and they're very resentful and they point fingers at everybody. So I'm going to take a deep breath because that does it. That's a subject that really just twists me a little bit because, you know, I feel that if that people that work hard, money is obtainable. And by hook or by crook, you can make money. My husband used to say, if I have to shave the fuzz off of peaches, you know, I'll do whatever I have to do to make sure that I take care of my family. You know, he worked 12-hour days. And trust me, we did not live the lap of luxury by any way, shape, or form. But he busted his ass to make sure that I could be home and take care of our child because of his medical needs and because I wanted to be with him. So those are those are the real people in the world, right? People that go out there and they do what it takes to make it happen. So if you are resentful that you don't have enough money, then you need to get help. Because you should never resent someone else for having more than you, especially if they worked hard for it. So that's my opinion. And of course, you're listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey. And this is my opinion, not the opinion of MiamiMikeRadio.com. All right, I'm going to take a breath now. Let's see. What are people saying? I'm resentful. My needs and wants changed, and so did the value of money. You know what, Leslie? Thank you so much. For saying that, because I think earlier I touched on that. I'm not sure if you were tuned in or not, but yeah, it only has as much value as you give it. You know, you could have 100 Louis Vuitton bags and be miserable. I worked in a salon in Briarcliff, which is a very affluent area. This woman, I'm blow drying her hair. And she's telling me, because I saw she had a Louis bag. I'm a Louis. I love Louis. So I'm like, that's a beautiful bag. She goes, oh, yeah, my husband just got it for me. I found out that, you know, he was fooling around with his secretary. So he bought me this bag. And I'm like, what? So now I have to keep a straight face, you know, while she's telling me this because it's not my place. I can't say nothing, right? She's paying me to do her hair. I got to shut my mouth. And I'm thinking in my head, so he bought you a bag. So it's okay that he was banging his secretary, who probably is the one that ordered the bag for her while she bought herself one. So you could take that bag and you could shove it right up your ass, along with keeping your thing in your pants. So as far as I'm concerned, I would rather walk around with a freaking plastic bag from CVS to carry my stuff in than have my husband banging the secretary so I could get a Louis Vuitton bag. So absolutely, your needs and wants should change because the value of money should change as well. Because at that point, I don't need that. Keep your that there exactly. And thank you for bringing that up, Leslie. All right, where am I here? I'm resentful of people who abuse any system set up to help others. Amen, sister. Amen. Unfortunately, the truth hurts. If they're resentment, then maybe they should change their lifestyle. Exactly. And I think that that was what we were just, what I was just saying, right? This is why people need a legal side hustle. Like, I have my CBD company and should work hard to rank higher and higher in the company. The higher you rank, especially in network marketing industry, the end results are residual income, which come fast. That's the goal more than often. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, if you don't like something, then change it. Karen, I see that you are tuned in here. I know you text me, which I didn't get a chance to read. Where is my child? I am my neighbor that has my kid. I'm trying to find out where he is because I think he weaseled his way into a sleepover, I'm assuming, but I didn't see the text. Okay, so let's see. Bill, I just started my sample of the CBD oil. Awesome. All right, let's take a breath. So now, here's a good question. Do people live beyond their means? Ding, 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 ding. I'm going with probably yeah. So if you live beyond your means and now you're running up credit cards and you're spending money that you don't have, that's a scary, that's a slippery slope there, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think anybody should live beyond their means, in my opinion. I think some of us splurge sometimes, and I think it's okay to splurge, but I don't think that you should live beyond your means, unless you know that you have a means to correct that eventually. Like, you know you have money coming to you, or, you know, you're still going to be able to get by. But if you're going out and you're buying a Louis Vuitton bag and, you know, you're putting it on a credit card because you don't have the money to pay for it, then you really have no business buying that Louis Vuitton bag. And maybe you buy one, you know, but like, we don't need 30 bags, right? Once you have a fancy bag, I don't think you need 30 of them. Don't get me wrong, if you live a lifestyle where you can have 30 fancy bags, God bless you. But if you don't live that lifestyle and you're going beyond your means, then you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. So, you know, is it really important to wear designer clothes, bags, shoes? Is that so important? Do people look at that? Keeping up with the Joneses, like, do people look at that? And I guess they do. And, you know, I know, what about like the fake bags and the fake designer things? Like, why are we buying replicas? And if we're buying them, are we telling people that they're fake? Or are you buying a fake Louis Vuitton, let's say, and telling people it's real? Like, me, I have, you know, copies or whatever, and I tell people, I'm like, oh, this is fake. Like, this isn't, you know, this isn't. And people are like, why? It's so good. You don't even have to tell people it's fake. I'm like, I don't really care. I mean, I like the bag and it's, you know, it's fake. I mean, is it nice to have a real one? Yeah. And, you know, my husband bought me one 15 years ago. You know, but I think that, you know, some of us, you know, when you're, I had a girlfriend of mine that used to buy herself all fancy bags and stuff like that. And, you know, I said to her, well, like, I was buying copies. And she's like, I just feel different. You know, she's like, I work hard and I don't like a copy. I know it's fake and I want the real thing. And I respected that because she worked hard. So she deserved to have what she wanted. And she felt it was less than because it wasn't real. So I respect that, you know, 100%. And that's how she felt. And guess what? She owned it and she was able to work and do it. But I just don't, like, to me personally, I got to tell you, I don't think it cost a lot of money to look good. And I can say that to you as someone that lives that lives by that. And, you know, it was always a joke where I would go out shopping and I would come home with a bag full of stuff and I paid like $50 for it. And like my girlfriends used to go, how the hell did you do that? So I've been working since 13. And I made $50 every 2 weeks. We had, I was my parents owned a dance school and I was an assistant for one of the teachers. So I used to make, like I said, so what was that? $25 a week, right? And it was taxed. So, my parents obviously, you know, took care of me in terms of, you know, living and all of that stuff. But that was like my spending money. So I would get my paycheck and I would have this $50 and I would say, all right, at this time, Guess jeans were really big, right? So I would say, okay, do I want that pair of Guess jeans, which is going to cost me my whole $50? Or do I want those 5 shirts that are only $5 each and those 2 pairs of leggings? So now I got like 6 outfits for the same $50 that I would have gotten one pair of jeans with. So I kind of shaped myself that way because I wanted to make my money stretch because I worked hard for it. And I still do things like that. Like, I don't spend, a lot of times people see me when they see me out, most of the time my outfits don't cost more than $20. I go to, you know, random stores and I don't buy anything for more than like $20. It's very rare if I do. And I don't really think that when I go out, I mean, I usually get compliments on my outfits all the time when I go out. I have, which I thank you for, I have a different sense of style than most people, and I put certain things on that most people would never wear, but it does not cost a lot of money to look good. If you are smart and you think out of the box, there are ways to do things where you can get things and feel great about yourself. They may not be designer, but as long as they look good and you feel good when you're wearing them, that's really what's important. Because, you know, somebody once said to me, why are you going to wear a shirt that has Guess on it? Like, why are you advertising for them? You're walking around with the word Guess written on your chest. All you're doing is they should be paying you. But because it's a brand name, now you're what? You're cool because you wear a brand name? So I just think that sometimes people put too much value, right? Leslie, here we go again with the value, different value on things. And, you know, if you don't live that way and you need to make things work, you make them work. There are plenty of people, I mean, I idolize them. One of my girlfriends, she does the couponing. And I mean, her garage looks like, I mean, you could live in the garage. I mean, she has everything because she is, it's stacked. And meanwhile, she's like, oh, I got this. You see all these here? They were free because I had the coupon and I gave it. She goes, oh, I did my big food shopping and they had to give me back like $37. And I'm like, holy shit, how the hell did you do this? She also lives in Florida and apparently the couponing is different in Florida than it is in New York. I am in New York. But it was very interesting to me that, that people know how to do that. So, and then a girlfriend of mine just told me that there's some group that there's something like on Amazon, there are glitches that happen and prices go down or on whatever on these sites. And there's like these groups and they let you know, they give you an alert or whatever. So there's always ways to make stuff happen, you know, and there's always ways and things go on sale. And if you do like designer things and you do like stuff like that, then you know what, maybe they'll come, you know, you'll get it at an outlet or maybe, you know, you go when they have those big sales or whatever, right? I mean, anything is possible and you just have to, you know, prioritize. So that's just my opinion. And, you know, I know I like my fashion sense may not be, you know, everyone's fashion sense, but you know what? I like my fashion sense. So you are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacy live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And we are talking today about money. Money, 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 money. So now the other thing too is, what about people that work so much that they don't even enjoy their money? What about that? You want to save for a rainy day. I totally get that. Sometimes there's no rain. So now all you do is work. You don't enjoy it. We all know that tomorrow isn't promised. So you could work your ass off and then you drop dead. And then what? You didn't enjoy it. You made all this money and you didn't enjoy it. So you know what? I completely and totally commend anybody that works hard and saves their money. I think that saving is a very difficult thing to do. There's a fine line between hoarding, saving, you know, all of that. But you have to have a life. And, you know, I used to argue with my husband a lot. That's what we argued about because he worked too much. You know, I'm like, but I'm like, we haven't seen each other, you know? And you know what? One thing you never get back in life is time. You can always make money, but you can never make more time. So I always say that, you know, it's great to save. This is the hardest part for me, right? How do you live each day like it's your last, which means like living it to your fullest, but still make sure that you're able to make tomorrow work, right? Like, so it's a very difficult dynamic to balance these things, right? Because let's face it, you know, I mean, you have to work to make money, unless of course, you know, you do what I'm gonna do and find Elmer J. Fudd. But you have to work to make money, but you also have to make time to have fun. And, you know, sometimes do both, you know. But it's definitely, I still don't know, and anybody that can find out this answer, I wonder, you know, how do you live each day as if it was your last and not be reckless? And I don't know, I don't think anybody can answer that question because there is no answer, because if we knew we were going to die tomorrow, which any one of us can, right? There's a lot of things we'd be doing right now, right? As much as I love talking to you guys, I'd be, you know, doing a lot of other things right now if I knew that this was the last, you know, God forbid, moments. So it's very difficult. You know, how do you plan for your future? How do you save? You know, these things are really difficult. You know, and I know I asked a couple of people today. I said, you know, I'm going to do a show on money today. And she said to me, how do people save money? Because I can't save money. So I guess it's like, I mean, again, I had a financial planner on here. I can do it again. But, you know, it's very difficult, you know, to make that balance. And now things are so expensive that you really have to work hard because you can't afford anything. My son wanted to go to Starbucks the other day, and I am sorry. I know there's some stuff going on. I didn't read the whole thing. I know something happened with Starbucks and police and stuff, and I always support the police 110%. So I certainly didn't go to Starbucks to not support police officers, and I don't know exactly what happened, so forgive me. My son loves Starbucks. So when you go to Starbucks, you get two cups of coffee. It's like $12. So he wanted to go. He broke open his piggy bank, which I told him not to do, but, you know, he was curious how much money was in it. And it was all change. He broke open his piggy bank, and then there's this this ring toss thing at the pool, and he got really good at it. So one of the guys said to him, if you get that in three tries, I'll give you $5. And he got it in the second try, so he got the $5. So instead of him wanting to take that money and buy Roblox with it, which is normally what he does, which is for a game, he said, Mom, I want to go to Starbucks. I want to treat you for coffee. So I was like, what? Because I tell him all the time, save your money. Like, you know, don't worry. And so, you know, this is what he wants to do with it. So he took me. We went to Starbucks. So it was $11.87. He got a Frappuccino and I got my cloud thing, right? $11.87. Are we kidding right now? So that's what I mean about expensive. I mean, it used to be 50, 60 cents to buy a cup of coffee from like the trucks, right? Now it's $12 for two cups of coffee. It's insane. And you know, I have to say this because it was a really proud mommy moment. I have to take a sip of water because I'm going to get emotional. It was a really proud mommy moment. He had all this change in the bag, right? So he had a little Ziploc bag with all his change and the $5 bill. So he had to count it all, which I thought the freaking cashier was going to go crazy. But so he counted all, he gave it to her. So I was like, thank you, you know, whatever. So we're sitting there and we're talking. He's enjoying his coffee. He feels, you know, like the big man because he paid for it and all of that, right? So I was very proud of him. He initiated it. He asked me. So just there, I have tried to teach him about that when it comes to money. And as parents, it's our responsibility to teach our children about money. So sometimes I feel like I say too much to him. And as parents, none of us want to say no to our children. You know, and the last thing you want to say is that you don't have the money to do it. Right? No one wants to do that. No one wants to say that to their children. So a lot of times he'll tell me, like, oh, Mom, let's go to Starbucks. I go, I have an espresso machine right here. Why am I spending $12 on coffee when I have an espresso machine right here? We can spend that $12 on something else. So when he got the money, and I have said to him before, you know, you have to teach your children compassion. In my opinion, okay? You have to teach them compassion. So, you know, he gets money and he got something. And I said to him, well, like, did you think about anybody else? Or you just got that and you need to spend that on that. I'm like, if this is what you want, he loves sushi. You want sushi, then how about you pay the bill when we go for sushi? Why should I pay the bill? You have the money. You pay for it if you want it. And I try to explain to him, it's not just about you, right? So he offered, and this has been in the past. It wasn't anything I had a conversation with him recently. So now he got the hold of this money. He wanted to go to Starbucks. So we go to Starbucks. We're drinking our $12 coffee. We go to leave, and he says to me, Mom, is it okay if I put some of the change in the tip jar for them? So just when I thought that I couldn't be more proud of him, he does that and he puts his money into the tip jar for them. Now, I, of course, have taught my child about tipping because, you know, I've been in the service. I've bartended. I'm a hairdresser, you know, and I explained to him, you can't do, you always have to tip people because that's how they make their money. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sorry. I don't usually tip the barista at Starbucks. I really don't, because that's their job. And I think it's ridiculous that you have to tip somebody for coffee. It's one thing if they're bringing it to you and you're sitting down in a restaurant. Absolutely. But that, I'm sorry, I don't. But obviously that had no impact because my son tipped them, which I was in awe of, right? And we walk out and I got tears in my eyes and I hug him and I kiss him. And I am like, just when I think I can't be more proud of you, you know, you do this. And he's like, Mommy, please don't cry. And I'm like, I'm just so proud of you. It's tears of joy. So now we go next door because I needed to eat something. So he still has change left in his thing. And there was one of those St. Jude things, like with the kids on it. So what does he do? He starts putting change in there too. And then he says, Mom, I can't, this, it's so sad. I see this. I want to give them it all. He put all the rest of his money in that. He had no money left. I think he had like $17. But the point was that the money wasn't important to him. And he's a 10-year-old boy. So let's face it. If you sit there and you're like, all right, I got $17. He's counting how many Roblox he can get. Or Fortnite sleeves or whatever the hell they're called. Right? He didn't care. He spent the money and he put it in a tip jar for them because they worked hard. And he put it in the kids that are less fortunate. And I think if more people lived their life that way with an open heart and an open soul, I think that the world would be a kinder place. So, you know, the reason why I went into that, besides the fact that it was a proud moment, was because what I was saying is the cost of living is very high right now. $12 for 2 cups of coffee is absolutely freaking absurd. And this is the life we live in. So the point is, if you don't like it, then you need to work harder and do something so that you can live the lifestyle that you choose to. Now, I've been rambling. And thank you. I see likes. I see hearts and stuff. I love you guys. You have a lot of keeping up with the Joneses still and always happening. Yeah, I guess so. A lot of insecurity can lead to this issue. Sorry, but yes, I work hard and I got to have my Ralph Lauren when I die, bury me in polo. And you know what, Bill, there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly my point. But if you're buying Ralph Lauren polo and your kid's not eating or you didn't pay your electric bill, then, you know, not so much, right? Well, Karen, you're making looking good, pretty damn easy, Miss America. You're too kind. Thank you. Century 21 or Fifth Avenue Nordstrom Rack and Macy's Discounts Racks. Yeah, I mean, there are so many different things. How about that Yankee shit people are wearing like they need the advertising? Well, you know, that's how it is. Love the sandals you were wearing. Oh, thank you. You know, I'm into my shoes. Let me tell you, I love my shoes. You need to have balance in your life. Yes, Diane, balance. That's the hardest thing to obtain, right? Hey, Janine. All right, let's see. Diane, our generation was brought up, work hard and save for your later years in life. The new generation does not have the work ethic, period. They have no work ethic, period. I mean, there's just none. I mean, it is sad that these are the people that are going to be running our country at some point. Very sad. And I'm not getting into a whole thing now. Again, not political. Just saying. Yeah, how cute. Thank you. Janino, what a gentleman, just like his father. Yes, indeed. That's adorable. My son did that once. No way was I letting him use his money. You know what? It's funny, April. I don't normally let him use his money. But you know what? He feels good doing it. I mean, and it's okay. I'm teaching him something because, look, let me tell you this. I don't feed my son junk, right? And I'm sorry if I'm insulting anybody. I'm very particular about what my child eats. So he watches this guy on YouTube that worked for Subway, but it was Subway, right? So he does this whole thing, and it's actually quite funny. It's like a comic caricature kind of thing. And he says, Mom, I've never been to Subway because, of course, I don't let him eat that crap, right? Because cold cuts are bad enough. So when I get the cold cuts, they got to be nitrate-free and all that stuff. Now, Subway, you know, they have, like, you know, I think they might have removed the product in there that was in, like, yoga mats. But it definitely has nitrates in it. I mean, and anybody that eats cold cuts, you know, I think those are, like, I don't know, turkey-based cold cuts. I don't even know. The best part about a Subway sandwich is putting all the junk on it, right? Because if you could put cucumbers and pickles on something, I'm all over it. So that's the best part. Lettuce, cucumber, I could just have that and not need nothing else. So anyway, he's never been to Subway. And I promised him that at one day I would let him go to Subway. So after, you know, he bought me coffee and then spent all his money tipping everybody, I said to him, you know what? There's a Subway right across the street. Mommy's going to get you a Subway sandwich because I promised you that I would. So he was like over the moon. Now, when did a Subway sandwich become $11? I could have gone to Arthur Avenue or I could have gone to Morris Park where I grew up and I could have gotten a freaking Godfather. I could have gotten an Italian combo that had all real ingredients in it. I mean, some of the nitrates, but like real cold cuts on real bread. And it would have been less money than freaking Subway. $11 for a freaking Subway sandwich. Are you kidding me? So, you know, when I know, April, you were saying that, you know, you wouldn't take the money from him. And, you know, he felt good. He wanted to do that, so I allowed him to do it. But I, of course, I reciprocated because I bought him, you know, I spent between that and then we needed paper towels and he needed this, he needed that. You know, we make it up. But it teaches them the value of a dollar and it teaches them, I think it teaches them not to put so much emphasis on, you know, on, money. You put too much emphasis on it and it does become the root of all evil. So you know what? Aspire to making yourself the best person you can be, to make your own money so you can be successful, so you can be financially independent, so you can treat somebody for $12, you know, for a freaking, you know, $8 cup of coffee. What else? Okay, that's awesome. Thank you guys for all the kind words. Sushi and Starbucks. Yep, that's it. I mean, hopefully not in that order, right? IT crew in the house. What a kind gesture. Yeah, exactly. Rob, what's going on, babes? Hey, John, how are you? Thank you guys for tuning in. You're listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacy live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And we are talking about money. Money, the root of all evil. Money, 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 money. And we're just talking about, how it can become the root of all evil. So here's one. What about when you are hanging out with a cheap friend? I know a lot of guys that would go out with a group of guys, and then all of a sudden, when it's time to pay the bill, everybody disappears, and like the one guy gets stuck with the entire check, right? Or, you know, what happens, like everybody's supposed to buy a round, and when it's their turn to buy the round, you know, they disappear, right? I mean, we know those people, right? And you have the people that nickel and dime for everything. I can't deal with hanging out with people like that. It puts a strain because, like I said, money is the root of all evil. So it puts a strain on a relationship because if someone always feels like they are being taken advantage of, then they're never going to feel good about going out and being with that person, right? So, you know, I think that people should be reciprocal. I don't think that, look, if you're buying a round of drinks and there's 100 people around and it ends up being, well, you know what I mean, a bunch of people are around and a round of drinks I mean, sometimes drinks are $15 each, depending on where you are and depending on what people drink. So if you're buying 8 drinks, that's well over $100 that, you know, maybe if you just went out by yourself, you weren't anticipating to spend. I mean, I think I know guys that probably spend a couple of $100 easily just going out and drinking, never mind food. So I just don't like it when people take advantage. So I always try to sneak stuff back in. And what do I mean when I say that? You know, if I have somebody that, you know, like they always, let's say I was dating somebody and they would always pick up the bill. I would wait until they went to the bathroom, or I would go to the bathroom, grab the waitress and hand her my card and take care of the bill. Because especially, there are people that are just too proud and they don't want anybody paying for anything. And I appreciate it. I respect it. But I think that you should give back too. So I personally try to do that. I try to not make it a big deal and just do it on the, you know, undercover, if you will, to give back. So, you know, even if you have somebody, I was out, you know, with a friend of mine and he always buys, you know, drinks for everybody. And you know what? One time he wasn't at the bar and I went to the bar and I got a round of drinks and brought it over. I don't even think he realized that I did it. But I personally just, I feel like, you know, you should never take advantage. And if you're out with someone that is cheap, that makes things very, very difficult. Now, if you're not in a good financial situation, that's one thing. Then you need to declare that before you go someplace. Like, listen, I need to get a separate check. You know, I'm not drinking or I'm not eating. So I'll just take a separate check. So this way I know what I'm responsible for. You know, I have respect for that. But if you're sitting there and you get 2 drinks and like my drink is, you know, $15 and your drink is $12 and we're going to sit there and you're going to look at me for that extra $3, which has been done before, that I can't deal with. And there is a difference between being cheap and being frugal. I am frugal 100%. And that's because I have to be. So I am not cheap. I would give anything I could. Like I said, I'll cook, I'll do whatever. But, you know, if you don't have a certain, you know, certain amount of money to spend, then you don't spend it. But then don't be cheap. Either don't put yourself in that situation or, you know, that's it. Because I when somebody stands there and they're looking at me and they're waiting for the $3, I don't even know what to do with that. And like at that point, I just like whatever I have in my pocket, just take it because I'd rather not deal with that. So I don't know. How do you guys feel about, do you ever go out and have like a cheap person that's sitting there like literally counting to the penny? I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's cool if you're going out, let's say there's a party of 10 people that are going out and like some of them don't drink and other people are drinking. So they're eating and they're drinking. We all know booze is expensive. So honestly, if you don't drink, I don't think it's fair that you should have to pay the same amount as somebody that had, you know, 3 drinks or whatever it is. You should definitely have to put in a little bit less. But a lot of times people don't even care about that and they do that. But, you know, I think it should be fair. And I just, again, being frugal and being cheap are two different things. And I think that, you know, people should be aware of that. And I think there's nothing wrong with being frugal because that's called spending your money wisely. At least that's my feeling, is that you're spending it wisely and not beyond your means, right? And that's what we were talking about earlier, is not spending money beyond your means. Because if going out, you know, is going to make you broke, then you shouldn't be doing it. You know, I say it too. And there are, you know, there are some events, you know, and, you know, they're maybe they're $100. And They're well worth $100. It comes with food and drinks and everything. Well worth it. But I got a fresh head if I'm going out and spending $100 on myself when, you know, I could spend that on going out with my kid. So I understand that we all have to do things for ourselves, and I completely agree with that. My priorities are a little bit different. I can't go out and spend $100 on myself and then tell my son that I can't get him what he wants because I spent $100 on myself. And again, that's just me. And if somebody else can do that, that's great. I think everybody should take care of themselves and do what works for them. But me personally, as much as I would love to go to an event, you know, that was, you know, or I would love to go to something that was, you know, a higher price tag or whatever you want to call it, I can't in good conscience do it. If somebody, you know, I've had instances where people have, you know, treated me, and which I greatly appreciate, and maybe I promoted for them or I did something for them, and that's a different story. But you know, to go someplace and spend money that you could better spend, it, you know, and again, I know that maybe that's wrong because people might think that is money well spent, and I don't disagree with that. I think it is money well spent. I think it's well worth the money. There are a lot of places that offer so much, whether it be a show, you know, food, drinks, you know, everything. And it's well worth it. It's just that, again, you shouldn't live beyond your means. So if you don't live a lifestyle that you can spend $100 or $150 on being out one night, then, you know, you don't go to those type of things, right? So that's just, again, my feeling on that. Let's see, where am I? I think you're doing an amazing job raising him from what I'm hearing. Nothing wrong with letting him treat you on rare occasions. He will learn the value of money, and that's important. Thank you, Diane. Yes, I think it is important because he felt good. That was the bigger part of it, was that he really felt... he felt like he was doing something for me, and that made him feel good. So it was awesome from start to finish. Our kids' needs, wants absolutely comes first. I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, thanks, Janine. It's definitely, it's what's important to you, and it's fine. You know, like I said, everybody has different, sometimes you just say to yourself, you know what, screw it. I need to do this. And I don't care how much it is. And I respect that as well. So here's a big doozy for me. What about borrowing or lending money? That is a really hot topic. Because, again, money is the root of all evil. So I have a situation where I helped somebody and I got certain things for them, and they were, you know, a dear person to me, and I've done it before, and they always reimburse me, you know, immediately. And now I'm in a situation where they didn't reimburse me. So it's not, I know it's not because they don't have the money. So what do you do with that? Like, I feel like if you know you borrowed money from me, then you should be the one that, and it wasn't even borrowing money, it was owe you money, right? If you owe somebody money, that person should not have to come to you to get paid. You should be giving that money to somebody. For instance, my girlfriend bought fireworks, not fireworks, the sprig, whatever, those sparkler things, for my son for the 4th of July. And I think they were like $14. And I totally forgot to give her the money. And I said to her, oh, shit, I saw you again. I forgot to give you the money. But I acknowledged the fact that I owe her the money. I just, like, we started talking and I totally forgot. And then I'm like, damn it. And I remember, I mean, it's also a small amount of money, but it's just a point that if you owe somebody money, you should reach out to them to pay them that. People should not have to go after you to get paid back whatever money they laid out for you. Are you guys with me? Does anybody agree with me? And as far as I'm concerned, that puts a very big strain on a relationship, because if you know that I'm a single parent and I'm telling you that I have a credit card payment due at a certain time and you don't come through, what does that tell you about that person? I don't know how people owe people money. I mean, granted, we've all been in situations, maybe younger, whatever, you know, at bill collectors, it's a little bit different, right? But when you have a personal relationship with someone, I would rather just give somebody the money than have them borrow it because of something like this. Because if you don't come through with it, now you ruined my trust in you. So to me, it's just a blatant disregard, and it sickens me, to be honest with you. And I know that, like I said, money is the root of all evil, right? So if you borrow money, you should, if you could ask to borrow it, then you can remember to pay it back. And if somebody has to ask you for that money, you did not deserve it in the first place. So I don't know, like, and again, this is why I started the show off, right? What did I say when I started the show off? Some of you weren't with us. I said, I don't like money. And this is why I don't like it, because it is the root of all evil. Because we all need money to live. And some of us don't have money to throw around. So if somebody helps you out, you do the right thing. And I hate, anybody that knows me, no, I really don't, I do not like to say the word no to people. I really don't. And when someone puts you in a situation where now you have to say no, that's really messed up. We're all adults and we should all respect one another. And what's funny is that people, the same people that will give you advice on how someone else is screwing you, are the same people that turn around and then screw you. So it's like, wait a second, I remember this conversation, but we were talking about Mr. X. And now, wow, you're doing the same thing. Holy shit. No wonder you saw that so clearly. Interesting. So I think it's a hard call. I don't know if you should, I think that I don't know. You should never ask. Nobody should ever ask anybody for money. I think if you're in a bad situation and you need to borrow, get a credit card, put it on a credit card, and then figure it out. Because when you borrow money from somebody, if you don't have any intentions of paying them back, then you're just a scumbag. Like, you just don't do that. You know, I mean, especially if you know someone is kind, don't ever mistake kindness for weakness, because unfortunately now everyone loses after that, because now you say to yourself, I know I'm going to read the comments in a moment, but I'm seeing some things here where people are like, nope, I don't lend out money. So that's messed up, because, you know, if somebody lent me money, I would damn sure pay them back. And a lot of times, you know what I say? Somebody will say to me, oh, don't worry about it, I got it. You give it to me when you have it. No, thank you. because I don't know when I'm going to have it. So I don't want to owe you anything. I appreciate it, and I thank you so much for the offer, but I won't accept something like that. I'll lend it to you. No, because then if I have to pay it back to you and I don't know if I'm going to have the money at that particular time to pay it back to you, I don't want to be in that situation because I would never want to do that to somebody. I just think it's wrong. So I think that money and friends is a bad mix. I don't personally know how people ask for money. I mean, the only time I've ever asked for things, honestly, is if it has to do with my kid. Because I will tell you this, I am a very proud person. But if my son, if I needed to feed my kid and I didn't have the money to feed him, I would ask anybody for that money to feed my child. And I learned after having my kid, never say never. Because once you have children, you look at the world very differently. And you could be proud, you could starve, you could wear the same clothes every day. But for your kid, you'll rob a bank, you'll find quarters on the floor, you'll go through, you know, all your empty water bottles. Whatever you need to do, you'll do to make sure that your kid is okay. I hope we're back on Miami Mike Radio. I just noticed we got booted off for a moment, but hopefully we are back and we are good. Let me read some of the comments now. Okay. Savion said, yeah, that's a touchy subject, but I have helped a lot of people in need, borrow-wise and whatever else. But I mean, as you get older, you'll know who in your circle you can lend money to. Yeah, but sometimes people surprise you. So I would say yeah, but I'm going to go with, I don't know, because I like I said, I've been in a situation where it's always been fine. And then all of a sudden, you're on a different planet. So I'm not sure if I agree with that wholeheartedly, because sometimes people just, I don't know. Even when you know, you still don't know. Leslie said, I will not loan money to anyone anymore. Those same people wouldn't do the same for me. There you go. Real talk right there, huh? Thank you, Diane, 100% again. I don't borrow, nor do I lend. If it was really a good friend who is in a bind, I might. Yes, trust is violated. Absolutely. I've lost friends and even relationships over helping them pay rent or bills or borrowing money. I live by the rule Sonny taught C in the Bronx Tale. Never chase after anyone you lent money to. It cost you that much to get that person out of your life. You know what, Ruben? Amen. And I think I did say that. I didn't do the quote, but I did say that because you know what? The truth of the matter is that you can't. You don't chase money. You don't chase your money. That person knows that they did you wrong. And if you have to continue to go back and forth with them, it tells you the magnitude and the type of quality of that person. So you're 100% right. People judge me as a wealthy person by my house, and meanwhile, it's killing me to keep it, and it sucks. And, you know, I was talking about that in the beginning of the show, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, too, is that people don't know what it takes to make things happen either. Let's be honest with that. You know, nobody knows. You could be driving around in a brand new car, but, you know, maybe your parents helped you with it. Or maybe it was a gift before whatever. I mean, you just don't know. You can't make assumptions. You know, just because somebody drives a Mercedes doesn't mean they have money. And just because somebody drives a Hyundai doesn't mean they don't have money. People just choose to spend their money differently. So in a case like yours, Leslie, if you love your home and that's valuable to you, as a human, then you make whatever sacrifices you need to make so that you can live that way and live there. And maybe you don't go out to dinner. Maybe you don't buy yourself Louis Vuitton bags. But you know what? You have your home and you love your home. So again, it's all what value means to you and what has value to you. So you know what? Again, I talk about this all the time. Don't be so quick to judge because you really don't know. You know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So nobody knows what somebody else is going through, and nobody knows what sacrifices they make to do it. Nobody knows what help they have. Nobody knows what help they don't have. And that was something I had wanted to talk about too, but I know we're going to wrap it up. You know, is pride. Do you let people know your financial situation? And that's a tricky thing. You know, I'm a very honest, straight up person. So I don't perpetrate the fraud. Hopefully people don't ask you what your financial situation is. But you know, little, like even for like when I was adopting the puppy, right? After we fostered and I adopted, which she is sleeping right now. Thank God she didn't bark once during this whole show. Which I guess my son is having a sleepover because he ain't home yet. When I was getting the dog, I mean, I had no idea that it was like almost $500 to adopt a dog. Who the hell knew that? When I adopted a dog 100 years ago, it was like $50 or whatever the hell you wanted to give them. It was a donation. Now, it's like $500 to adopt a freaking animal. I bought my pumpkin, was a purebred Pomeranian. I bought her in 1991 for $300. I know that's unheard of now, but $500 to adopt. So I had said to one of my friends, it was my birthday, and I said, is it tacky for me to do, like, you know, when you have the birthdays and stuff, you know how they do all of these charitable things, like, you know, donate to Alzheimer's, donate to this, donate to that, you know, Karen is raising money for her birthday for, you know, Alzheimer's. So I said, could I set up like a GoFundMe, you know, to adopt the puppy? I said, is that like schkoomp? Is that wrong? Like, you know, is it like desperate? Like, you know, whatever. And, you know, my son is, he wants this freaking dog. And I'm like I say to everything, I'll figure it out. So when I said that to a friend of mine, she's like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You're rescuing this dog. You're saving the dog's life. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And again, I don't ask for help from people. So when I did this, I didn't do it for me. I did it for my kid because my kid wanted this dog. And I couldn't look in his eyes and tell him that I couldn't give him the dog because I didn't have $500 on hand to pay for it. So, you know, sometimes you can, and there were gracious people that donated and every little bit helped so that I could adopt the dog. And, you know, so again, I don't think you have to go into, you know, depth on your situation, but I think there are a lot of people out there that will help if they can. And I know the people that donated to the Bella Fund, you know, were all, you know, very happy to do it. And I appreciated that very much. You know, so there's always ways to make things happen. And I think that we all want to be proud, right? Besides proud, you want to be self-sufficient. You want to be independent. You want to be all these things. And you don't want money to be the root of all evil. So again, just to recap with you guys real quick before I shut it down. Just remember, make sure you have a will in place because you never know what tomorrow may bring. If you have family that needs help, make sure you have a life insurance policy that will help take care of things, because when somebody passes away and you don't know what's coming next, having legal things like that in line would help tremendously. I know a lot of us that aren't, you know, old, quote unquote, don't want to think about a will. we don't want to think about these things, but they are things that you should think of. And I share this with you because it's something that we didn't think of. And it made things very, very difficult. So, you know, just look, you got to live your life. Don't work 50 hours a day and not live your life. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Tomorrow is never promised. So try to save for a rainy day. Help others if you can. Don't be cheap. Be frugal. Doesn't cost a lot of money to look good. But do what makes your heart happy. You know, and that's what the moral of the story is. Because, you know, again, going back to what I said earlier, you know, if I had to move into a studio apartment so that my son could have gotten the help that he needed, I would have done that. Because where you live in I'm sorry, it's insignificant. You know, I mean, it's not insignificant. It's significant, and it matters if it matters to you. But keep in perspective what matters. And what matters is your health, your family's health, and quality of life, right? So I know better than anybody that tomorrow isn't promised. I look at my mother, who is suffering from dementia, can no longer speak. This was a woman that went and got her master's at 50 years old so she could further her career. She was a shopaholic. There's still stuff in her closet that has tags on them that she never got to wear. And now it's insignificant. She doesn't even really know what she looks like when she's dressed, you know, I mean, and this is what life can become. So don't get caught up on things that don't matter, and don't give too much value to a dollar. Give value to what it brings to your life. So don't let the money be the root of all evil. And if there's anything you take away from tonight, please look into having a will. If you have people that depend on you, look into life insurance if you're able to do it. Live your life, save for a rainy day, but make sure when the sun is out that you enjoy life. That's my advice. And thank you guys for staying with me and giving me your interaction. I really greatly appreciate it. You make it easy because you're here with me and you guys are supporting. And I think we're all sharing a little bit of something. And I think everybody can learn something from each other. So I appreciate. What happened here? I got booted off of the Facebook Live. So I am going to sign off on Miami Mike Radio. Keep in mind that we have a lot of live shows on every night, actually. Mondays, we have Luke at 1. Paulie is at 6 p.m. And the first Monday of every month is Rob Mush, Mind Candy Mondays. Tuesday, of course, you have Steve at 1, DJ Simply Nice. And then Real Talk with Karen Stacy at 8 p.m. Wednesdays, we have the Loyal Listener Show with Hamilton Zara Maymay. That's at 8 p.m. Thursdays, we have Michael Anthony, Traffic Jam, at 4 p.m. And then we have Frankie Mags at 8 p.m. Fridays, we have DJ Simply Nice at 8. And then we have Friday Night Sessions at 10 with Tony Sinopi. Saturdays, we have the Gazi Show at 8 p.m. and Anthony Mangini's Saturday Night Dance Party at 10 p.m. And then Sundays, we have Anthony Grimaldi. So thank you guys for tuning in to Real Talk with Karen Stacy live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. See you next week.